Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about how to prepare your child for college responsibilities. And so today I have special impactful guest on. Her name is Dr. Kristen Austin. And Dr. Kristen Austin is the co-author of a new book that just came out called College Ready 2021. And this is a great book because it's all about trying to get your kids prepared to leave the nest and be successful in college. So I'm really excited to have her on today. And despite having over 19 years of experience working in student and family college transitioning, Dr. Austin also admits that she's going to need this book when her own three children launch off to go to college in the future. So we're excited to have her on. Thank you so much.
I wrote it for me.
That's right. I want to get started right away. Thank you for being here. And my first question to you is, what is my role as a parent in trying to get my child to transition? I don't even know where to begin here. Mainly because, you know, we're preparing our kids, we think, but on honesty, I'm a parenting coach. I know we do a lot for our children. And yes, we don't realize that we're actually causing them a disservice as we're doing that. And our kids don't know to ask for certain skills because, well, frankly, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So they get to college and then they realize they have a lack in some kind of skill knowledge base. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Mom, Dad, help me out here. So how do we stop that crazy cycle and get started with really preparing our kids to be successful?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And it's really a position that every single parent, family member, or supporter finds themselves in when they get to the point of college transition. And I want to use a little bit of inclusive language here. So when I refer to parent, in this case, I'm referring to anyone that is cheerleading a student through college, because we know with modern families, it could be a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, or a mentor or relative. So we're talking about the whole network of support systems for this student. And how do you do it? The first thing you do is expect that nothing is going to go perfectly. It's sort of like preparing for a camping trip. Even if you've been doing this over and over and over again, you still always forget something. So what I often encourage families to do is to remember that no matter what, it's okay to forget something or for there to be a gap in a skill set, because there is always time to develop those areas. But what you can do, even knowing that it won't be perfect, is focus on some of the really important things. So the College Ready 2021 book, chapter 8, really lines these areas out very clearly. First one is talking about some personal safety, finding out if students can have protective devices on their campus. That could be a mace, or it could be some sort of Cubaton on a keychain, but very important to find out what's allowed at that campus. Going over some basic cooking, hygiene, knowing how to use certain kitchen appliances, only those that are allowed in the residence hall, though. As a heads up, usually Keurigs are allowed, usually. So really those kind of very basic things, car maintenance, especially if you live, if your student is going to school in a place where there's certain weather patterns that they may not be familiar with, really preparing them for the big things, those really, really big tasks, so that when the smaller tasks come, challenges come up, they have open communication with you and can talk to you about those things. But always remembering that it won't be perfect, and that's okay.
So would you say that chapter 8, the one that you co-authored into this book, College Ready 2021, is it more life skill base kind of activities, or are we also talking more academic ready type of activities?
So that's a great question. One of the best parts of this book is that it covers everything. So chapter 8, for example, just because I'm very familiar with that chapter since I wrote it, is everything from actual skills to also understanding diversity and inclusion amongst new peer interactions. So that's not necessarily a skill, it's more of an adjustment. It's more of an exposure and an awareness building experience. And I really talk about how for most students, they've never lived in a community setting before. So with that comes some inherent diversities that they may not have previously been exposed to. So it's not all skill. Some of it is skill, some of it is just adaption. And there are several chapters that talk about actual academic transitions and adjustments as well. So there's everything in there.
I didn't even think of the diversity and inclusion part before, but it's so interesting that you're mentioning it because it is a massive part of adjusting to a community living.
So big.
And most kids, not all, don't live in diverse communities. They live in
Correct.
very mono
Homogeneous.
communities where everybody's kind of somewhat like them, in some certain respects. And so this is really
Absolutely.
interesting. You definitely need to prepare your kids for that. But
Yes.
what happens now if I miss something?
When you miss something.
Okay, yeah, when I miss something and getting them ready for college. And what
Not at
happens when I
all.
miss a skill?
Yeah, and it will happen. And most of the things that students and families miss or forget, I usually tell families, you can usually buy it on Amazon, okay, right? So if the student needs something, it can be drop shipped there. But whatever is not tangible that was forgotten, you can typically direct your student to the resource on campus. And that's what you want to be doing. You want to be investigating what resources are on campus in order to help your student become attached to the campus resources. Ideally, it's going to be more about the parent sort of backing up and more about the university backing toward or moving toward the student. So parent starts to move back a little, university comes in, and it really is a triad relationship. We don't expect the student to always go straight to the different university professionals right away. They're still going to call home because you are their safe place and you are their place of trust. But what we want to do is when they call you for that safe place, because there is something that you forgot to go over, maybe it's a budgeting question or a financial aid question, you as the parent or the supporter, the influencer, are able to say, that's okay that we didn't talk about this. This is the resource at your school that I want to point you toward. So it can either be purchased on Amazon or it can be attached, can be connected with on the campus. So no worries.
So
Gonna
the
be
first thing
okay.
I'm thinking of when you say this, I'm like, yes, as a pa impactful parent, that's what you want to do. You want to guide your child to be self-independent and learn how to like find those resources on their own and get that help that they need. But I'm going to be a little devil's advocate here and say,
Okay.
I know that there's a lot of kids out there that are just going to be so frustrated with their parents saying, just tell me. They just want it to show up on their doorstep. They just want the mom to do it or the dad to get it done for them. And they're going to go through this, I would imagine, a very, very painful, emotionally painful learning curve when they're going through that process in college. So, I
It's
mean,
going to happen.
am I right on that?
You're 100% right. And in some ways it's beautiful that our students, what I hear when I hear that is that our students trust us as parents. They trust us. So that's why they want to go to us. But at some point we do have to build those autonomy skills and direct them in other areas. And that's when the big B word comes into play, boundaries. Boundaries. And however possible, you have to build a network of people that will help your student turn in other directions. In my case, I was fortunate to have both of my parents in my college experience. And so my dad would know when he had to get on the phone and tell me no, versus times when my mom had to get on the phone and tell me no. And sometimes they had to pull in the big dogs, the grandparents, and say, tell her to stop calling. We are not getting her out of this, whatever the this was of the week, trust me. So the boundaries are so important. One of the things that I share with parents, I have them reflect on times in the K-12 experience where they did empower their student to make choices. And typically what happens is once you force a parent to think about times where they've already done this, where they've pushed a student toward independence or empowered them to make a hard choice, they can kind of fall back on that skill set and say, okay, I've done this before. I can do this again, because it really is a boundary issue, and it's just as hard for the families to say, no, I'm not going to make this call for you, or no, I'm not going to send that email for you, as it is for the students to hear it. But parents, we can do hard things and we can get through this. And then once we're through it, the students will be so much better off, because you don't want to build habits where when they're getting into their first job or it really just that first big job where they're still calling you saying, hey, can you call my boss because I'm not feeling well and tell them I won't be into work today. We don't want to build that repetitious and very dangerous habit. So boundaries, boundaries, boundaries.
Listen to that, parents, because yeah, it's gonna hurt deep down inside, but
It
in the
is.
long run, this is the best thing to help your child become a
Yes.
more independent adult. But my next question to you is, how do I know when it's time to intervene and actually get in there and help and say, you know, because there's, like you said, there's a boundary. So you create the boundary, but there's also a time to say, all right,
100%.
I need to come and step up as a parent to help. But that's a fine line.
It's a fine line, but it's an important line. And I'm so glad you asked this question, because what I think universities don't do a good job at is telling parents when we should hear from you, because it really is a partnership. And I think the narrative is helicopter parents, parents go away. We have your student now. We'll take care of them. But there are circumstances where parental involvement is critical, and I would love to talk about some of those.
Yes, please.
Students that have IEPs or 504 plans, which would be for any listeners that would not be familiar with those. Those are education plans, perhaps for a student that has some sort of disability. It could be a cognitive
Dyslexia, something,
dyslexia, it could be a cognitive
dysgraphia.
disability, it could be not neurologically diverse, but they're education plans that have supported students' success throughout K through 12. Those plans are often so complex that the student has not yet fully grasped all of the accommodations that they're both entitled to and that they've been receiving. So I interact with so many college students who will say, I didn't know I was receiving an accommodation. I thought this was just part of my education. So then when they get to college, they don't know to advocate for extended test taking time as a accommodation. They think that that's going to automatically happen. So for students that have disabilities or history of disabilities, I definitely recommend parental involvement, heavy involvement in that first year, even in teaching the advocacy skills, but in helping the student to understand their disability. Very closely related to that is students that have chronic and potentially debilitating health conditions. A lot of times, students, again, I work with, if I'm in a situation where I have to ask them, well, what medications are you taking so that I can relay this information to whatever personnel need it, they'll say small blue pill or green square pill. They don't know the names of their medications. They don't know what the medications are for. I've had instances where students have had epilepsy medicine and didn't know which one they needed to take because they're so used to these things being done for them. So definitely, definitely, people that are students that have chronic health conditions and potentially life-threatening diabetes, all of the above, severe allergies. Sometimes a parent needs to be a little bit closer on that transition than the I've dropped you off, hands off experience, really helping that student to understand their illness or their disability in the collegiate setting. Because understanding it at home, where you know all your restaurants, you know all of your triggers, is very different from understanding it in the academic environment. And the last thing I'll quickly say of when parents should or could potentially be more involved rather than less would be for students that have marginalized identities. Very often, Students of color, for example, who attend a predominantly white institution are likely to experience elevated feelings of disconnect, are not likely to have the same sense of belonging as other students. And for those reasons, the familiarity of the family and the connection to home can really help to support and buttress that transition. So little diff couple different populations that might need a little extra support where you don't want to cut them loose too quickly. But still, even within all of that, there's still boundaries. But those are three really good examples.
That's perfect. And I just want to remind parents that each one of those categories you mentioned has a resource on campus to help your child. There is always, well, not always, but most universities now have a section, a department that's going to help your child with their IEP or learning disability or whatever, and any accommodations that they need. So we just got to help our child find that place on campus so they know where to go on, in addition to really understanding all their stuff. There's places on campus where you can get prescription meds sent there and go and find it. And that's where you're going to start picking up your medicines. And this is how you can, now we got to teach you how to take it. But those resources are there. We just need to kind of hold our hand for a little while so that we can let it go. Right? I am really excited to read this College Ready 2021 book. It's really great. Can you tell us, how do we get a hold of this book?
Yes. College Ready 2021 is a great, quick read, very tangible, very digestible about topics that are specific to 2021 transition. That's what I love about it. It's not it's not too general that it could apply to 5 years ago and may apply to 5 years from now. It's very specific to what is going on in our current college transition environment. So, College Ready 2021, you can purchase it on Amazon as well as anywhere else books are sold. It is edited by Chelsea Petrie, and the publishing company is Wise Action. And get it. Such an easy read, very quick, and very action-oriented because every chapter has checklists. So, after you've read a few pages, you can say, these are my takeaways. This is what I need to do now.
Thank you, Dr. Austin, for being here today. And make sure that you go and get the free PDF that I put out, 50 Skills to Teach Your Child Before They Leave Home. These 50 skills are an amazing checklist of activities that you can do this summer with your high school student to get them ready for being a very proficient and independent young adult. Things like learning how to sew a button, learning how to change a tire, learning how to read labels. It's a great activity checklist, and you can find that at theimpactfulparent.com/50things. You couple that with this new book, College Ready 2021, and you're going to have a very, very successful young adult that's going to grow up and be independent, which is exactly what we want. So you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.